Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to the broadcast today. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of the Someone Cares Ministry broadcast. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to encourage you to get your Bible or notepad if you're able. We're getting ready to study the Word of God. I'm going to do Bible study leading up to the teaching on Christ's righteousness and the righteousness that Christ will judge. There's a lot of teaching in the church today on the internet, on radio, on television, all over the world. And a lot of the teaching, if you go to the Bible, line up on line, precept upon precept, you'll find that some of the teaching that we have in our day and time is not true. And so that's why I want to do this teaching today, leading up to a series that I'm getting ready to teach entitled Christ's Righteousness and the Righteousness Christ will judge. The Bible says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that when we go before the judgment seat of Christ, that he is going to judge things both good and bad. Most of the teaching regarding the judgment seat of Christ suggests that he's going to only be judging good, and it's going to only be good rewards. But when you look at the scripture don't teach that. The Bible teach in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that there's a lot of people that's going to lose out with God, because the Bible said he's going to judge the clergy and he's going to judge their works. Their works is the people. The preachers produce work among the people, not brick and mortar. It is the people. And the Bible says that our works are going to be judged. The work that he's talking about that's being burned up, these are people. These are not brick and mortar. This is not material things. These are people. Preachers work in the lives of people. So when the scripture talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that our works will be burned up, he's talking about people. People are going to lose their souls if they've been taught wrong, if they lived wrong, and if we misled them, these people will lose their souls. I want you to go read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the entire chapter, and read it in context. And the Bible tells the clergymen that if our works is burned up and if we destroy the temple of God, and the temple of God he's talking about in that chapter is people, souls. And if we destroy souls and if we destroy the temple of God, the Bible says him will God destroy. Now, I don't want you to take my word. I want you to go get your Bible. I want you to study. And I want you to follow along with me, and I want to show you that Jesus Christ one day is going to judge our righteous life. Now, we have been made righteous by the blood of Christ whenever we called on the name of Jesus and we were born again by the Spirit of God. And the Bible declares that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. But in 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. I want to say that again. The Bible said, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So, since you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, it is your responsibility now to walk in righteousness and to work righteousness. Now, that is the righteousness God is going to judge. There's a lot of teaching that make many people think that God's going to judge Christ's righteousness. And when you hear people say, I trust the righteousness of Christ, many times that's what they are saying. Yes, the righteousness of Christ was wonderful. And if it wasn't for Christ living a righteous life and dying and shedding his righteous blood, none of us could be made righteous. But we don't need to think and we don't need to be deceived and think that just because we trust the righteousness of Christ, God gonna let us into heaven. No, you have to become righteous by repenting of your sin, receiving God's Spirit into your life, being born again by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 4:12, and you then become the righteousness of God in Christ. And now you're supposed to walk a righteous life. You're supposed to live in righteousness. Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. If anybody say that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is not for the New Testament church, then You can go to Matthew chapter 28 when Jesus gave the Great Commission. He said to the apostles, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. So along with the Great Commission to go into all the world, Jesus also told those apostles, ultimately all of us in the church, to teach everything he commanded us. Now, he was commanding us and teaching us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the apostles came and wrote letters that are called the epistles and the apostles' doctrine, and they taught us based on what the Lord had taught them. So today we're going to go into the Word of God, and I want to share some things with you leading up to the series that's going to be coming forth entitled The Righteousness of Christ and the Righteousness that Christ Will Judge. Glory to God. And I want to distinguish those two righteousness. And I want to show you it's important that after you've been saved and made a righteous person, now it's your responsibility to walk in righteousness. Contrary to a lot of teaching that's all over the world that tell us we don't have to do that. Glory to God. Now, if you have your notepad, I want you to write down some scriptures. I want to call them out and quote them, and we're going to go into our teaching. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Listen what the Bible said. It says, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's going to be a lot of doctrines of devils. And these doctrines came in through seducing spirits. And these seducing spirits mostly use ministers. I love ministers, but I'm a minister who has been called to inform the public to check all of us ministers out. And I'm going to show you in a few minutes that the Bible tell you to do this. And since I'm announcing this, I always encourage you, check me out first. And I'm going to show you the Bible tell you you're supposed to do this. And I believe that every minister ought to teach along these lines at some point, because we ministers claim to have the word of truth. We claim we represent God, and many may represent God, but many are not representing God, because the Bible says there's many false prophets going out into the world. So since you don't know who a false prophet is, then test all of us. Amen. The Bible tell you how to test us. The Bible tell you how to try us. And this is not an insult to do this. And this has been the thrust of this ministry. And this is the reason why I'm on the air. Because the Bible says, try all of us. So I want to invite you to try the spirit of my life, try the spirit on my life, and try the doctrine that I teach. But on the other hand, I want to encourage you to try every minister, try every church, try every religion. Because the Bible said, many people are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I don't want you to be one of those people that lose your soul. So that's 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. It is your responsibility to study to show yourself approved. You are not approved until you go to the Bible and let the Holy Ghost witness things that you've been taught and prove it to you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You're supposed to hear your leaders gladly, but you're supposed to go and check them out. You're supposed to go and check out what they taught you. Because at the end of your life, when you stop breathing, the Bible said we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible said we're going to give account to God of ourselves. It's going to be you and you alone when you have to account to God. So you are responsible for the destiny of your own soul. So that's why I'm teaching you these basic principles, so that you'll be right when you cross over to the other side. So 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, the Bible said, but the anointing which you have received abideth in you, and you need not that any man should teach you, but that the same anointing teaches you of all things and is true. If you're born again, that means you have the Holy Spirit living within. There is not but one Holy Spirit. Amen. The same one that caused you to be born again is the same one that give you the utterance in other tongues. The Bible said by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 that it was by his mercy he saved us. And then he tells us how he did it, with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is involved in your salvation. Some people teach that you can get saved and then you can come back and get the Holy Ghost. Well, the scriptures don't really teach that. Amen. Even though we have taught that many times. It was the Holy Spirit that caused you to be born again as you called upon the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Now that Holy Spirit lives within you and he gives you an unction and he will teach you all things. God has given us outward teachers called the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And they're supposed to teach the saints and bring us up in the things of God. But there is a teacher on the inside of you who will verify whether those teachers on the outside is teaching correctly. So you need to understand how to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost by way of the anointing that dwells inside of you. And that's what he's talking about. He will teach you all things. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God." Here's a verse in the Bible telling us to try every spirit. Glory to God. Every minister is moved by some spirit. Could be the spirit of God. It could be that person, human spirit, or it could be demonic spirits. And so the Bible said, try the spirits. You have to try the spirit. Just because I sound good, just because I move you emotionally, just that don't necessarily mean whether I'm teaching you the truth or not. The Bible says that you have an anointing, you have the Holy Ghost within you, and you are able to listen to the Holy Ghost within you, go to this holy canon of scripture, and you can tell if I'm teaching you the holy word of God. That's how you try every spirit. And the Bible says you're supposed to do that to every preacher, every minister. Why? Because it goes on to tell you, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Now, we don't want to judge everyone that we see, but we definitely need to discern everyone we see and hear. And the Bible says, try every spirit. So this is the Bible I'm teaching you, and this is what you're supposed to be doing every time you hear a minister on the radio, on the television, on the internet, in your churches, in your religion. This is your responsibility, because the destiny of your soul is in your hand. Glory to God. All right, Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says in the word of God that tested the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest teachers of all Christianity. Now, if they tested one of the greatest teachers of all Christianity, that simply means that you should test all of us. You should test anyone, glory to God. Now, when these Bereans tested what Paul was preaching, the Bible said they received the word gladly, and they went and checked out everything Paul taught them, and they checked it out daily. And the word of God declared that they was noble. If you're going to be called noble by God, you need to try every spirit, and you need to check the minister out, no matter who they are. Amen. So those are some verses that I want you to look at when you get a chance, and I want you to study them. Now, the reason I'm teaching this lesson leading up to the righteousness of Christ and the righteousness Christ is going to judge is because there are some false teachings in the public that I want to make you aware of. The reason I'm on the radio and the reason I'm in the airways is to tell people, check us all out. Glory to God. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just gave you a list of scriptures showing you the motivation that I have in teaching the way I teach. I want to give you some major doctrines that's being taught. And these are doctrines that I warn you about. I warn you to check them out and look at them closely, because a lot of them sounds true. But when you study the word of God and you examine them, there's no truth to them at all. Now, don't take my word. I want you to do what the Bible says. You go study. You go seek the face of God. And I want you to test every spirit, including me. Glory to God. I want you to see if God approve of these doctrines. Here's some of the doctrines that's being taught on a large scale. The first one is the grace revolution. And as I told you many times before, and I'll tell you probably many times in the future, as long as God give me grace and give me the breath and give me the life, I want to warn you of these things. This grace revolution that's being taught all over the country, that have infiltrated many, many churches, many peoples are buying hook, line, and sinker, is not a movement of God. It is a demonic revelation. And the reason I can declare that it's demonic is simply because when you go search the scriptures, you cannot see where the scriptures agree with a grace revolution. The Bible says in Titus 2 verse 11, the grace of God that appeared to all men teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and it teach us to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's what the Bible grace teach us. That's what the true grace of God teach us. And that is the Bible's definition of grace. 1 Peter chapter 5 says that the grace of God will make you perfect. It says that this is the true grace of God wherein we stand. Go check it out. 1 Peter chapter 5. So if you want to know the true grace of God, let the Bible teach you what the grace of God is. But this grace revolution, here is some of the things that they teach. If you listen to them closely, this is exactly what they teach in word for word. They may come over saying good words, but then ultimately this is what they are saying. They say there's no more penalty for sin. In other words, you sin without penalty now. There's no more punishment. If there's no more penalty for sin, why do we still have the lake of fire? The Bible said people are going to be taken out of hell and cast into the lake of fire. And they're being cast into the lake of fire because of sin. Glory to God. The Bible said a soul that sinneth, it shall die. The word of God says in Galatians, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So to say there's no more penalty for sin under this fake grace is a lie. There is still penalty for sin. And the best thing we could do is run from sin. Stay away from sin. The Bible says, Psalms 4 and verse 4, you stand in awe and sin not. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not this knowledge. I speak this to your shame. 1 John 2 verse 1, these things I've written unto you that you sin not. All through the Bible teaches sin not, sin not, sin not. And if the word of God teaches that, then that means there's a way to sin not. So this grace revolution says no more penalty for sin. Here's something else they teach. You are righteous when you sin. In other words, they teach that when you sin, just say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ and keep on going and don't be condemned. Well, you know, that's just a lie. And many people abide in that lie. And I'm here to get you to think. And I want to cause you to go to the word of God and verify that, what I'm teaching and what they're teaching. And you have to make a choice, because the Bible said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. The grace revolution is a lying revolution. Glory to God. All right, here's something else the grace revolution teach. They teach don't be condemned when you sin. If you feel condemned, it's of the devil. No, the Bible says that if your heart condemn you, God is greater than your heart and he knoweth all things. Glory to God. But if your heart condemn you not, then have we confidence towards God. God allow condemnation to come upon your heart to bring a condemnation to show you that you're wrong. But now if you repent of that condemnation and you repent of that sin, then the Bible said there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation if you walk not after the flesh. But if you walk after the flesh and walk in sin, condemnation will be there. And God uses that condemnation many times to let you know something is wrong. It's like seeing a run-down building with a sign on it saying condemned. Well, the only reason the sign is on there to tell you don't go in the building, because the building could fall in on you. So you look at the sign and say, well, condemnation is bad. No, that sign that says condemnation is a safety device. It keep you from going in that building that could destroy you. Glory to God. So that's one way to look at it. Here is something else they teach. God don't see your sin. He see you through the blood. In other words, when you sin, God see you righteous. That is not so. The Bible said, let him that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Glory to God. All right. There's a dual cross message. Amen. It's two cross messages that's being taught in the airways and on television and all over the world. The first cross message says no such thing as sinless perfection. Now, that sounds deep, sinless perfection, but sinless perfection is simply mean holy. Glory to God. And so whenever somebody said no such thing as sinless perfection. What they simply saying in so many words is no such thing as holy, because holy is void of sin. And the scripture said, be ye holy even as I'm holy. And as mean parallel to or just like. If you're going to be holy like God, that means God has no sin and in him is no darkness. And if you're going to be like him, that means there can't be no darkness and no sin in you. Glory to God. There's nothing deep about that. So one cross message preached, believe in the cross, believe in the blood. And then they sit down and tell you nobody can stop sinning. No such thing as sinless perfection. Well, that's a lie, according to the scripture. They teach justification by faith. Now, the Bible, when you study it, teach justification by the faith of Christ. That's two different things, because this cross message teach justification by faith, but they are not saying the same thing the Bible is saying. They are simply saying that you are justified even when you sin because of your faith in the blood and the cross. Because of what Jesus did, when you sin, you are still justified and you are still righteous. That's what they are saying. So you need to check that out, and you don't need to be caught up in that lie, because many are going to depart from the faith by giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is a doctrine of devils, and I want you to check this out for yourself so that you can redeem yourself from this lie. To God be the glory. Something else they teach: we will always have the presence of sin in our life while on earth. That's what this first cross message teach. Glory to God. Now, I love the cross and I love the blood, but I'll never use it to be an excuse to sin and think God will accept me in my sin. The Bible again says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He meant that in the Old Testament and he mean that in the New Testament. Glory to God. And the Bible says when he come, if he find you in sin, he will not spare. He's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle or any such thing. Second Peter, beginning at verse 11 through verse 14, tell you how you need to be found when Jesus come. You got to be blameless, without fault, and you have to be holy. Hallelujah. And in Matthew 25, there's a lesson of 10 virgins. 5 was wise, 5 was foolish. 5 of them got left, 5 of them went back. Don't be foolish in our day and time, and please redeem yourself from these lies and these false doctrines that are predominant all over the world. Glory to God. The next cross message seems to be a true cross message, because they talk a lot about not sinning, but they teach it in the sense that if you just believe in the cross and the blood, that it's automatic and it's impossible for you to sin. Well, I don't think we'll never get to the place on this side of glory where it would be impossible to sin. Now, you shouldn't sin. And if you walk in the spirit, you won't sin. And if you abide in Christ and these scriptures, after you've been born again, you won't sin. But it's no such thing as being impossible to sin. I live a sin-free life. I don't have no sin in my life. I don't have no skeletons in the closet. I don't have no sin in my thoughts. Glory to God. I'm living a holy life. Now, I haven't always been like this, because I had years where I struggled. But God had to teach me the reason I was struggling is because of false doctrines that I had been taught. And that's why I'm on the air teaching you to try every spirit, try every doctrine, try everything you hear, because I remember how false doctrines used to have me entangled. But now I'm living a righteous life and a holy life. Glory to God. And I'm living without sin in my life. And you can too. And that's really why Jesus died and shed his blood. He didn't die to leave you struggling with sin. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When he came, he destroyed the works of the devil. He destroyed the sin in the soul, and he made you a righteous creature, and you can walk in the spirit and not sin. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he said, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the life of walking in the spirit. And for anyone who tell you that you can't do that, they are telling you something totally against the word of God. So you need to try that spirit, and you need to go to the Word of God and hear the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So this other cross message comes over like it's so clean, but you got to test it. They teach a lot about who he is and what he did. But what you got to watch out for is in the same message, what they're literally telling you is you need to know who he is and what he did and turn right back around and tell you you don't have to do what he say. Now, that's exactly what they are teaching. Glory to God. Now, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to listen, pay attention, prove everything the Bible says. Go try every spirit, try the spirit on me, try my teaching, but go try this other teaching if you happen to run across it, because that's exactly what they are teaching. God had me to examine the teaching, and my job is to come and expose it to the public. I'm not trying to harm any minister or any ministry. Glory to God. As I said, I love all ministers. I'm a minister myself, but the Bible said we ought to have no respect of person. Glory to God. We're supposed to teach the truth without respect of person, including myself. You need to try these messages. This second cross message is simply saying who he is, what he did, but you don't have to do what he said. You don't have to abide by his teaching. You don't have to keep his commandments. Listen to him closely. That's exactly what they teach in the public. Hallelujah. They teach things like no discipleship. They believe if you believe in the cross, you believe in the blood, you don't need to be disciple. The Bible says in the book of Acts, the disciples was the more added to the church. So that's a contradiction of other scriptures. Whenever you got a message that sounds right and it's contradicting many other scriptures, you know that message is a lie. Glory to God. Satan know how to preach some truth and then turn that truth into a lie and put it in the wrong perspective. So you need to check out these messages that you're hearing. This other cross message preach cross, 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 blood, blood, blood. Believe in it, and you don't need to have no self-denial. You don't need to bear your cross. You don't even have a cross. Jesus said, except you take up your cross while you are and come after me, you can't be my disciple. Yeah, you have a cross too, and your cross is self-denial. Your cross is obedience to these scriptures. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But this cross message teaches you do nothing. Glory to God. You don't have to do anything. They teach things like you don't have to keep God's commandments. They teach things like you do nothing. Well, beloved, these are just lies, and I encourage you to try every spirit and save yourselves from this untoward generation. Glory to God. There's a lot of lies, and they're coming over like it's the truth, but there's no truth to it at all. I'm going to close with this scripture, Revelation 22, verse 14. This is what John said after seeing Jesus, talking with Jesus on the Isle of Patmos. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now here the scripture telling you, you're blessed if you do the commandments, but this cross message tell you, you don't have to do the commandments. You don't have to obey Jesus' teaching. You just believe in who he is and what he did, but you don't have to do what he say. Well, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? This is Apostle Curtis Lewis said, we love you. We thank God for you. And that's why we're on the air, to get you to try every spirit and see whether they be of God. If you like to call us, you can go to our website. We got all our information on there at SomeoneCaresMinistry.org. I am the local pastor of Refuge Temple here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, under the leadership of the Chief Apostle, Bishop Wendell Archie. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. We're located at 10414 Mammoth Avenue right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we also meet Sunday night at 7 p.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. We would love to see your face in the place. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you. We thank God for you. And remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.